be kept and fulfilled. And Lord, we thank you that we are in your watch care. We are your children. And one of these days, we'll all be with you. Lord, you say that your desire is that where I am, there you would be also. So, Lord, we're looking for that day when we will be there. We thank you for each one who's present today and listening in. Ask now that your Holy Spirit would open our minds and our hearts to your precious word and help us to understand, thus saith the Lord. It's not what man says, not what I say, it's what you say that counts. And bless our fellowship together today. Be with Brother Don as he begins our revival services. And help us all to be drawn closer to you. Thank you, Lord, again for your saving grace. Remember those, Lord, who have lost loved ones and have those special needs, and those who have sickness and the problems that we see. Lift them up before you and ask that you would bless each one and mold us to your will as we walk life's pathway. Bless this time together now, and may you be praised, honored, and glorified. In the precious name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. Now, we talked about the silent years in Bethlehem when Christ was born, and the shepherds came and they saw and they wondered and marveled at those things which they had seen. It says the message was shed abroad about his birth, and then everything goes silent, and Bethlehem goes silent. And when we don't hear anything about Christ in scriptures until the wise men come, and we think to be probably, you know, around 2 years old, and the wise men, when I was looking at this, I made a statement to myself, so to speak. They stirred the pot up again. Because when they came to Herod and said, "Where is he that's born king of the Jews?" And Herod could relate to that. So he began to question them, you know, and we have that recorded in the book of Matthew, and we talked about that some. But let's ask, if you will, just bear with me, and let's look at a few things again. Now, in Matthew, the second chapter, because I was a little bit of hurry last Sunday at the end of the message, and I kind of skipped a little stuff that I think was important that we look at. And in the second chapter, we know in the second verse, the wise men came and said, "Where is he, the king of the Jews?" And Herod asked the question about, you know, where is he going to be born? And he says, and he called him Christ. And they told him in Bethlehem of Judea. And then in verse number 8, "And he sent them, that is the wise men, to Bethlehem to go search diligently for the young child." Excuse me, little horse. All those things were done. Now, as the wise men leave Herod and go search for Christ, this is kind of where we want to pick up our study this morning. Now, in verse number 8, he says, "You go," he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go," now notice, "to Bethlehem, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I might come to worship him." And of course, we know the story there. He had no desire to do that. He had a desire to kill him, not worship him. So the wise men come out and see the star, and they follow the star again. And in verse number 11, I want us to kind of pick up and begin to look at some things in perspective here. And it says, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child and Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, of frankincense, and myrrh. Precious gifts, we talk about the gifts and we can talk about what they represent. We could do a whole nother study on those things. But where did Mary and Joseph come from when it came time for Christ to be born? Where did they live? What city did they live in? It said all the world to be taxed. So they had to come from where they were to Bethlehem. Well, where were they? Nazareth, Galilee. So they come to Bethlehem. Now, when did they go back home? Now, I want you to think about that a little bit. When did they go back home? How long was it before Mary and Joseph ever saw the home that they left when they headed to Bethlehem for Christ to be born? We know that they were there for 2 years, close to it at least, when the wise men came. So now here's the wise men. They have come and they have found the child. And notice in all these things, he's not called Jesus. We're kind of keeping, it's like the Lord said, I'm just keeping everything silent in the process of this child growing up. I'm looking after him and I'm caring for him. But I'm not exalting his name. We're looking at King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we're looking at this period of time at his birth. And he, as he grows as a child, that he's not mentioned. If this were as it is today, and and somebody in authority, a king, they have kings in England, if they were going to have a child, how much do you reckon that would be advertised? How much do you reckon that would be seen? How much do you reckon that would be spread all over the world? Everybody know all about it. And then somebody would be walking around looking at that young'un every day so they could report on what's happening to that young'un every day. Good or bad, they'd be looking. But Christ says, God says, no, quiet time, silence. Now the wise men come in and stir the pot, according to God's plan, though. Now, they have brought something. I don't know how Mary and Joseph survived until the wise men come for those years, other than God looked after them. And when he's looking after you, you're in pretty good shape. But here is another thing. Mitch and I were talking about it the other day, and I never thought about it. He mentioned it to me. They came and brought gifts of what? Of gold and frankincense and myrrh. That's pretty good stuff to be giving. What's fixing to happen to Mary and Joseph and Christ? God's always one step ahead of everything else. Now, here we are. They brought the gold and the frankincense and myrrh. But now look at verse number 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Okay, so the wise men now are going to go back home. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Why in the world go to Egypt? We'll get out of from under Herod's authority. Now, they're fixing to leave And they're going to Egypt with no place to stay, with no job, no means of support, other than the fact they've just been given gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That would probably go a pretty good ways in supporting Christ and Mary and Joseph while they're in Egypt. And he says, how long am I going to stay? He says, you stay until Herod's out of the way. And then you head back home. And he says, and when he arose, he took the young child. And notice we're talking about young child. He's called young child six times in these. And his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there till the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Here's another prophecy fulfilled. You say, well, why didn't he go to some other place to stay? Because God preordained that he's going to Egypt, and he said, I've got a son that's going to come out of Egypt. Prophecy fulfilled. You're going to see that statement made a whole lot in these scriptures that we're looking at. Prophecy being fulfilled. Now, they have gone to Egypt. Christ, probably 2 years old, thereabout, give or take. He's down in Egypt now. And of course, Herod takes his revenge out. And slew all the children that were in Bethlehem in the coast from 2 years old and under. And that's when we think 2 years of process was in this. And I've called your attention to this before, but let me read this 16th verse for you one more time. I want it to sink in, so to speak. Then Herod, when he saw that he was a mark of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according, see? Notice this, according to what? According to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. So he's recording time. When the wise men came by, he recorded the time that the wise men came asking about Jesus. He recorded the time they saw the star, too. He kept all that in his mind. And now he's using that for a timetable. And then was fulfilled that which. Here's another fulfillment. As we look at this. Which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying in Ramah, the voice of lamentation and weeping and great mourning, racial weeping for her children, who would not be comforted because they are not. So now, Christ is gone. He's not in Bethlehem. He's not in Jerusalem. Now we have the silent years again. When are you going to hear again about Christ? I'm not sure how long they stayed in Egypt. I've looked pretty good a little bit and not found complete satisfaction in it. Some say two, some say four. I don't know how many years. So let's look and see where we are. Verse number 19. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Said, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel. For they are dead which sought the young child's life. And they arose and took the young child and his mother. And he arose, excuse me, and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. Herod has now died. Now that verse number 22 starts with a but. Now his son is in control. So what has taken place? We find that Joseph was afraid to go back to Egypt because he knew that Herod's son's now in charge. But that's not all. Latter part of that 22nd verse, it says, if afraid to go hither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. Now, we'll read the rest of these verses, but we're going to come back and look at something in the process of this. Pay attention to something as we look at it. We're still in a situation that we have a hard time comprehending that Jesus is just a child, like you and I were just a child. He's God wrapped in flesh, I understand that. But at the same time, he's a human. We have a hard time putting all that together. I can't explain it to you. I just know that he was a child and he had to be looked after just like you and I did as a child. Had to be protected and cared for, though he was God. Now, the rest of this verse says, and they came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled. This is three times we've already seen this statement. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. No. But we want to pick up some things that took place, especially a verse or two. Prior to this, they just went back home to Nazareth. Now, I want you to look at something as we look at this. Turn over to John with me for just a moment. In the first chapter of the book of John, verse number 46. And we're way ahead of things a little bit now because we're looking when the disciples were chosen. But I want you to look at verse number 46. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said unto him, come and see. Yeah, I got something to tell you. Yeah, something good can come out. Because I got something for you to come and see. And he says, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. And Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou was under a fig tree. He's nailing him down in a hurry. I know all about you before you ever got anywhere close to me, friend. We need to take note of that. God's looking at us all the time, is he not? We don't hide anything from him. I saw thee under that fig tree. Then he said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree. Believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Nothing good comes out of Nazareth. You just hang on, boy, you ain't seen nothing. He said unto me, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That statement, you ain't seen nothing yet. You tell me after all this is over if something good comes out of Nazareth or not. Just a little sidebar to that. All right. Go back with me to this time to Luke. You know, we're between Matthew, Luke, and John. We're wearing it out, going back and forth. I want you to go to Luke, the second chapter. Verse number 39. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. This is the book of Luke talking about when they go back home, when they leave Egypt and they have traveled back home. And look at verse number 40. And the child grew. And what we did? He's growing just like you and I did. He's growing up. He said the child grew, and he said he waxed strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. He's God in the flesh, but the grace of God's upon him. He's just a child. Aren't you glad? The grace of God's upon you. You know Christ this morning as your Lord and Savior. Now, what do we see take place here? If the wise men came when he was about 2 years old, they go down to Egypt, and if they stay 2 to 4 years, not sure. Now they head back to Nazareth. And you don't hear anything about Christ until what? Until when? Now look at verse number 41. I'll read a few verses to you here. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. So here's the Feast of Passover, Jewish custom. Every year, they go where to do it. They've got to go to Jerusalem. And when he was how old? 12 years old. Something took place. We have him mentioned again. He had been silent now for what? 8 to 10 years? Birth, 2 years to the wise men, 2 to 4 years, I don't know. So, you know, 8 to 12 years old. But it's been solid, you know, during that period of time. He said it was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days that they returned, you know, the child, and now notice this also. And they returned the child who? Don't call him a young child now. Don't call him Christ now. They call him Jesus, the name that Mary and Joseph were told to call him. He tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsmen, folks, and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, that was a three-day thing again. After 3 days, where's he at? He's sitting in the midst of the doctors. Now, he's how old? He's 12 years old. And he's sitting right in the middle of all these educated folks, so to speak. Both hearing them and asking them questions. It's amazing that here comes a 12-year-old in and all these people all of a sudden taking interest in him, is it not? I wonder why that happened. You know the answer to that? The only answer to that I know? Because God's in it, and that's his son. And I'll show you the godly part of him. Because he's sitting there with all these smart folks, boy. And they're asking questions, and he's giving answers, and he's giving, I mean, that would have probably been a good session to sit in on. Because he said, both you and them, and asking them questions. And all that heard him were what? Astonished. Just a 12-year-old boy come walking in. He looks like any other 12-year-old boy. But boy, he sure is smart. Him's an educated young man to be just 12 years old. Well, I reckon he was. He had a good teacher. And he said he was astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dwelt thus dwelt with us? You reflect back to your mom and dad a little bit. You was about 12 years old. You ever do anything, mom and daddy said, why did you do that? Why have you done this? What were you thinking about when you done that? And if I did it the right way, daddy told me to go out and get one of them little old limbs, you know, about that long off of them, you know. And I said, I need to help your understanding a little bit more. Why have you dwelt thus with us? He just astonished all those doctors he'd been sitting talking with. He's just a boy. Here's the human side again showing up. He had just presented the God side. And now here's the human side. Reminded again that he's just a boy. Why have you dealt thus with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, doing what? Sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? So all of a sudden it goes from the human side to the what? To the spiritual side. Now I'm the son of God. I got to be about my father's business. I know who my father is. And I've got to be about his business. And they understood what? not the sayings which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was, next word, subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. How many times have we seen that? You know, when the shepherds came, they went away wondering, but Mary, it says, kept those things in her heart. So she's just watching her son grow up and seeing all those unusual things about her son. And she's keeping them in her heart. He's got to be special. He's got to be special. He came from God. He's got to be special. And I'm watching that miracle that God performed in the birth of Jesus Christ, his son, and I'm watching it all unfold. Don't understand it, but I'm watching it day by day unfold. He said he was subject to them, kept in his heart. It says that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. What does it mean? He's growing up. And in favor with what? First of all, he's in favor with who? God. Who's God? His Father. And then second, he's in favor of who? Of man. So he's in favor of God and he's in favor of man. 12 years old. Mighty quiet in here. That's the same thing that happened when he was 12 years old. When do you hear about Christ again? How old is Christ going to be before you hear anything about him again? 30 years old. If he's 12 years old here, and you're going to hear about him again when he's 30 years old, do your math. How many years is that? You're not going to hear a thing in the world about Christ. That's a long time for silence, is it not? And you see, another thing that we look at, you say, well, what's so important about 30 years? Well, in the Jewish custom, you know, before you recognize the United States of America as adult somewhat, how old you got to be? At what age does things kind of change? 21. You're supposed to be a man or a woman at 21, supposed to have all your groundwork done, you know, real smart. I think we need to change that. I think it needs to go way up the line now, because no, we don't get real smart till we die. Problem is, there's no magic number. But with the nation of Israel, with the Jewish customs, 30 years old, all the priests, it's like he didn't mature until he was 30 years old. Priests had to be 30 years old before they could do priestly work, before their ministry started. Well, how old is Christ now? 30 years old. So it's time, according to custom, that his ministry now starts. That clock keeps ticking. And we're going to pick this up. I'm not going to go any farther with this, but I'm going to read one verse there. I want you to go to Mark. And boy, this gets... Um, I reckon I'm not going to get there because I need another week to study this. But now you look at Mark chapter number 1 and verse number 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice we're talking about names also. It says, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And in this phrase, you have Christ, under the name Christ, it's the title. It's like Dr. So-and-so, you put a title on them. Christ is our wonderful counselor, the Almighty, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And you can go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Messiah. Title. Then when we look at the word Jesus, that's his humanity name. Jesus. Then you look at Son of God. That's his Father. So we have all three of those mentioned in this one verse in the beginning of it. And he says it's the beginning of that gospel about this individual. It's the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written. Here we have this again, written in fulfilling. We see it. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Now, Lord willing, next Sunday, we're going to start with this one who prepares the way before thee. John was the forerunner, right? We're going to talk about John the forerunner. We're going to talk about what John taught, what he preached, what he knew concerning Christ, and where it all came to light to John, Lord willing. God bless you for being here today. Hope you have a great day. Looking forward to a great rest of services today.